Start up like this, or like this, and hit the start button to flip back and forth. You can make the important things big, keep the small stuff small, and arrange it all around you. You can be all work, all play, or even both at the same time. You can do it all simpler and easier on your Windows tablet, PC, or Surface. That's the new Windows. One experience for everything in your life.
All right, welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. Today we're going to be talking about some of the best practices on marketing your Windows Phone apps. We're real lucky to have a couple of the Florida rock stars hanging out on the call with us today. So we have Bill Reese of Tampa and Shane Boyer of D-Land, Florida, which for those of you who don't know Florida, slightly north of Orlando. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell us about each other. Bill?
Yeah, my name is Bill Reese. I'm a senior consultant for Agile Thought in Tampa. And along with what I do during my day job, Agile Thought's also been generous enough to let me be a Nokia developer ambassador. So part-time I do I'm a Nokia developer ambassador for the Southeast region of the United States.
Cool. I'm Shane Boyer. I'm basically a pretty big community guy here in Central Florida. I do a lot of talks. I do a lot of write-ups on TattooCoder.com. Do a lot of things with Nokia. I'm actually a Nokia dev champion. So do a lot of phone apps, a lot of marketing tips and tricks. So, yeah.
Why do they call you the Tattoo Coder?
Yeah, like ink.
Oh, that's it. All right. Very cool. So I've been really privileged to have listened to talks from these guys on the idea of successful marketing on phone applications. And they've both got some neat properties out there, and there'll be links in the at the end you can take a look at. But Bill's got a really good video out there, shot at a Code Camp session about marketing his marketing applications. And Shane's got a really good blog article over on Tattoo Coder. But got me thinking about what are some of the best practices around Windows Phone apps, marketing them. So I want you guys to think about like three of your best tips, but I'm going to throw a specific scenario out there. Chris, who's our host on this show, has a Windows Phone. Chris is really into music, big AV guy, and he was like, Tunely, I've never heard of that app. So what is some of the stuff you would do to actually get an app out there and hope that a guy like Chris notices it and finds it and has the discovery of it? Because once you start using something like, well, I'll throw a bone to Bill, like Reading Lens or Reading Glasses, and in your case, Shane, Tunely, those things, you know, suck you in. I keep using them forever. These are forever apps. So what are you guys doing to promote some discovery stuff? And we'll let Shane hit it first and then come back over to Bill.
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of developers fall under the notion of if I just build it and publish it, you know, it's out there, right? So people are just going to find it. Yeah, it's just not the case. I mean, I'll plug one of my other apps. I tried to find out different marketing aspects. I had this app called I'm Here. It's approaching 35,000 downloads. And all it does is share your location. It's actually built into the phone already, but I wrote the app. I made it pretty. I think being pretty, having a good interface is good. That's one thing. A good solid icon is another one. But then reaching out to the social groups using Twitter and Facebook to your advantage. Actually, that app got discovered on Instagram when I just carbon copied Dan Rubino from WP Central. He says, "Wow, this looks like a fantastic app. Let me know when it's out there." And they picked it up and wrote an article, and my stuff shot through the roof. So yeah, I mean, that was one way, but you got to spend some time on making the app look good, making it attractive. So when people are scrolling through that icon, I mean, Bill's got a great icon for his Reading Lens stuff. And it's like, wow, that looks like it does something cool just by looking at the icon. I think that's a big part. But then reusing the social media to your advantage, and that's how I got a lot of my apps discovered, and just it paves the way to future stuff for your future apps.
So we'll call that strong points one and two. Look good and have a social media tier tie-in.
Yeah.
All right. Bill, what kind of tip you got for us?
Well, the first thing I would say is develop an app that you're interested in, because if you're interested in it, then there's a good chance that other people are going to be interested in it too. And so I think that's a big part of it, is coming up with an idea that people actually want, which sounds pretty obvious, but there's a lot of apps out there that you look at them and you say, why would somebody actually ever download this? And so I'd say that's a big part of it. And then I think Shane's done a great job with Toonly, especially. I've seen him implement a lot of the advice that I talked about during my YouTube video with RustCam about popularity of apps, that there'll be a link in the show notes about that. And I've seen him implement a lot of those. And I've also, a lot of the feedback that came from Kevin Schaefer, who's another guy here in Florida, that both of what we've talked about in our blog and in our presentations, a lot of it has come from some of the recommendations that he had. And along with the WP Central, which is something, hopefully you can convince them to write something about you. I know that another place you can go and just write your own article is wmpoweruser.com. And you write the article yourself, and then you tell them, hey, here's, you follow their format and you describe your app, and then as long as it's in the format that they expect, they're going to publish it.
Yeah, actually, I used that for Toonly. That was the first one that I used to get out there. And it's really just a WordPress blog. You apply, it comes back, and then, yeah, like Bill said, you just don't embellish it over too much. You want to make it a nice, well-written thing, like, hey, here's an app, here's what it does, here's why you'll like it, and let it fly. And typically within 48 hours, it'll post, and it throws out, I mean, they've got like 30,000 followers on Twitter, and it just posts every time it goes out there. So that's a good way to get downloads.
Yeah, I follow them. And I actually do pick up new apps off of it. So an interesting one there. Yeah, so, working that angle, we got the kind of nascent users. We got to somehow get it out there. And obviously, the first impressions count a lot. Convincing user to download. What do you guys do?
If I can say one more thing. Sure. Then the other thing that I would say is that you're better off making your app a free app and then doing an app purchase in most cases, because you're going to get 10 times as many downloads consistently. I see at least 10 times as many downloads.
You mean free versus trial?
Free versus trial, absolutely, yeah. So even if you're paid with trial, you're still going to get 10 times as many downloads with a free app with an app purchase as you are with paid with trial.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, can't you actually have a free app out there with IAP and then also have a trial paid?
Yeah, absolutely. I do that, actually, so I can try both methods. I do that with Reading Lens. I have a free version and a paid version of that, and definitely see a lot more downloads with the free version.
It's kind of like you get a double SEO hit by having two entries out there, too, because I was actually trying to download a new copy of Reading Lens the other day, and I just put in Reading. Here comes Reading Lens, Reading Glasses, free, paid, trial. My whole first screen kind of filled up with Blue Rose Productions there. So it was very well done, Bill.
Yeah, we like it that way. I'd like to say I did all of that on purpose, but a lot of it just came from trial and error, and actually starting with a paid app and then seeing the downloads weren't as much as I'd like, and then went back and did the free app after that.
Yeah.
So Shane, I noticed early on in Toonly you'd already picked up a number of reviews. Using anything for specific review hunting, trying to get folks to review your app or anything?
I typically follow just putting a link in the support page on the app itself, and then also maybe in the menu on the bottom, I'll put in there, hey, review us. Yeah. Just recently, I put in, like, after a 10 plays, it'll ask you, hey, would you like to rate this? With the option of, hey, don't ask me to rate the app anymore, because those pop-ups do tend to annoy a little bit if you don't give them the option to kind of, hey, stop asking me about it.
Bill, you showed me a wicked shortcut for the review stuff. What was it called, Bill?
Yeah, so there's a couple of them. First of all, Telerik, in their controls, they have a couple of things in there that can really help do this easily. They have a way to pop up that, I call it the nag screen, but the screen for review me. And they also have a template where you can easily add an about dialog page that has the review me button on it. But one that I like to use is called your last about dialog. And it's abbreviated to YLAD, and that's there's the Twitter name for the guy is Mr. Goodcat, and I've drawn a blank on his name right now. I know people
Peter,
by
Peter Kuhn.
Peter Kuhn, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And, I say it.
Yeah, and he's got a NuGet package out there, and you just search for YLAD, and then it'll bring the about dialog right into your app, and you just do one line of code, and it's up and running.
Yeah, I actually use the Telerik reminder, the rate reminder. That's the exact control that I've been using, and I got that as a part of the developer Nokia program, which came with a part of the pack.
So, Shane, your app's pretty fancy. Did you have to target a higher end phone, or you know what kind of phone, Windows phones, are you targeting with that thing?
I've run it on the 620. I'm typically, whenever I develop an app in the emulator, I always test in the 512 meg, unless I'm doing something super high end. If you're doing imaging or something like that, but the 512 meg emulator is the one I always test in, and I'll go into test on my devices. I've got a 900, 820, and 920 are my typical hardware test devices. I haven't had any issues yet.
Bill, you're a big fan of the 520, I know. You mean Shane, you won't spend this $59? Come on, man.
I've got one on its way to me.
Bill was selling one the other day at the Tampa Windows phone group for $59. You may be able to get it out of him yet. If you haven't seen it, folks, the Nokia 520, 521s, you can find them on sale without contracts, typically around $79. And they're great for just having a Zune or something like that. Works out really cool. But yeah. I know, Bill, you're a big fan of the 520s. You bought like four of them?
Yeah, well, I only kept one for myself, but what I wanted to do was make sure that I could test things like not having a flash on the camera, because that's something that the 520 doesn't have a flash on it. So in order to test on a phone that doesn't have that, because in my app, you can turn on the flash, and so I wanted to make sure that it worked properly with the 520. And then also just dealing with, you know, the characteristics of their camera and some other things there. Yeah, and also, you know, it's... The 512 meg memory is one part of it, and then also just you know, kind of the smaller screen size and making sure everything looks good on the smaller screen.
So many phones, so little time. The emulator's your friend. You know, use it.
Nokia's actually got a really good. I'll find the link so I can send to you. They've got those remote devices now.
Yep.
That I haven't tried any of, but I know a couple of people who have and said it's a pretty good experience.
We're just waiting on you to get the 1520, and we're all going to email you our Zaps to test out on it.
So that's my next phone. That's the next one that's coming.
Bill's got one already, so you got to check it out.
Yeah, I do have one if anybody in the area needs to play with it.
I just go into the AT&T store and test the apps there.
I think Bill's deal is you got to meet him at the Cigar City Brew Pub, and then he'll let you use it as long as you're buying him pints.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, exactly.
I just made that up. All right. So, Shane, it seems like I know both of you do Bitly links. Shane, you and Bill both, do y'all do anything else, like, you know, specific websites or anything for your apps, Facebook, anything like that? Twitter accounts. Just app-specific, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, with Toonly, I did build a specific app page for Toonly. And the reason I did that is I knew that I was going to integrate the Graph API and be able to post it. So when somebody finishes the game now, that it says, you know, I just scored XYZ points playing Toonly on Windows Phone. So when they click Toonly, it actually goes to the fan page. If they click the icon, then it goes to the download for Windows Phone or Windows 8, depending on what platform you're playing it on. So that really helps, like, the social integration and kind of this viral type of action going on. So that was the first one I really did it for. Twitter accounts, not so much, but the Facebook stuff seems to help.
Bill, got anything?
Yeah, well, I haven't done that much with it, actually. I do want to do a lot more of that, and I just haven't really found the time. work keeps me a little busy between Nokia and AgileThought, so... But one thing I did want to say is if you are working on games especially, and you can also try to figure this into apps, is one way to get a ton of reviews is to give something away in your app for giving a review. There's a bunch of these games that are kind of four picks, one word games that are out there, and they all have the common model where if you go ahead and you give them a review, then you get free coins that you can use for hints. So, sure. So they have, some of these apps have tens of thousands of reviews on them, and that's probably the most effective way to actually go ahead and get reviews. And then I say after that the nag screen, and then after that probably the about page, in that order.
Yeah. The one other thing too, Joe, I want to mention is as of November, AdDuplex brought in, as far as download counts are concerned, Windows Phone globally right now, Windows Phone 7 is still almost 25% of the market. And if you're not doing that, if you're not doing an app that has to take the power of a Windows Phone 8 platform, go ahead and do a Windows Phone 7 version and get that out there. Even if you don't plan to support that going forward, at least have that out there. And in the US, I think it's at like 14.5%.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Like, I know a lot of the stuff that's popular, the cross-platform gaming kits, they all have an HTML5 base under it, and they're all Phone 8 only. That's one thing where I've been playing with them, I've been a little frustrated on, but because you can't target 7, but that's just the nature of that beast. Sure. All right, so here's an interesting one. So you guys have both wrote different applications of different complexity, but you're both interested. You both have ad models inside of them. You're interested in a long-term deal. So what are your thoughts on, like, long-tail or sustainable, downloads, or keeping the downloads going over time? Because we're all right now trying for that short burst to just get the usage up. But you guys giving any thoughts to your directions in the future? For, I know, Shane, you got, like, I'm Here, you got Amber Alert, you got Toonly. Bill, you got your reading lenses and a couple games out there and stuff. But, we always see a peak and then an So what's your long-tail strategies?
Bill, you want to take down first?
Well, Shane, that's a strategy.
So a couple things I do want to do is I haven't implemented yet is to kind of cross-promote things. So on my About page, have links to my other apps. And then also when I get better about putting pages together for these things, to actually just kind of advertise each other inside them and get that going. I think that's a good way to kind of keep the long tail going. And also, there's certain things I've been doing with the develop.com site, the Nokia reward site. I've been taking advantage of some of their discounts right now for getting these campaigns together. So I did a campaign recently where I did a global spotlight. So it's featured on the Windows Phone Store globally on the Nokia phones for a day, and saw my downloads spike up significantly for that day while that was going on. And I have another one coming up soon where I have I'm going to make the paid version of that app free for a day, and Nokia is going to promote it while it's free.
Yeah. One of the things that I want to point out, I mean, people have an appetite for updates, and as long as you're keeping your app fresh and things, the OS is going to change over time. We're hearing about what VNex is going to be for the platform. So keeping your apps fresh, keeping them updated, introducing features where it makes sense. But also build upon your brand, build upon a successful app, learn from what you've done there, build another app. And like Bill says, don't be ashamed to self-promote. I'm making I'm making right now kind of a pop-up, hey, like, hi, I'm here, check out Toonly, with a do not remind me anymore. I've got almost 40,000 users on I'm Here right now. That's 40,000 downloads.
Nice.
Potential for my other app. Learn from the previous apps, keep them fresh, add new things to them. You can introduce things like location-based stuff or camera stuff. I mean, there's a ton of stuff you can do with it. But try not to irritate the users too. There is a small appetite for updates, so don't do it too often.
All right.
Yeah, if I could mention one more thing there that I thought of is, the AdDuplex is a great place to get kind of your app noticed and get cross advertising going with other apps. And one thing you can do is you can create a free app that uses AdDuplex, and that AdDuplex ad that's showing up in there is actually giving you credits to get one of your other apps, let's say a paid app. And so you can say, okay, well, I'm going to show AdDuplex in this free app, and then in exchange, you get advertising for your paid app.
Yeah, I'm using AdDuplex for a December campaign right now. I don't even use the AdDuplex ads, but I'm running a campaign on AdDuplex. And you get a pretty decent impression rate if you spend a couple of bucks a day, if you've got some credits. But if you do trade the ads, you can funnel them all to a single app, which is good.
Pretty cool. All right, so open dialogue. You guys got any final thoughts, for the people just breaking into Windows Phone marketing out there?
I think one of the things is, and I'll say it again, take the advantage of portable class libraries. If you're running a Windows Phone app, there's no reason why you shouldn't write a Windows 8 app to go with it. Bigger screen. Especially doing things like games, or there's a lot of newsreader type apps, a lot of specific apps to a vertical out there. Take advantage of the larger screen, present more, and cross promote those apps. Like, I guarantee anybody who's got a Windows Phone has probably got a Windows 8 machine or going to purchase one. There's no reason why you can't do that. So kind of double up on that. I think that's something that I'm starting to do with some of my apps where it makes sense.
Yeah, I would say when you're first getting started, the first thing I would say is get that first app out there and get it done. Come up with at least the minimum viable product, they call it, for your app, and just get it out there as quick as you can. And then people love updates, like Shane said. So, get something out there that's useful but quality and good, and then something small, and then build on that. And then also really just kind of learn from the feedback from people giving you reviews. And some of the best ideas that I've had for my apps have come from users that say, hey, it would be great if it did this. And things I never even thought of, or I thought at the time when they first came up with it, I'm like, that doesn't sound like it would be useful. And then I end up using those features all the time myself. So
you need to give Jay a call out here?
Yeah. I mean,
That wasn't what I was talking about, Brian.
In my I'm Here app, it was already a social share, texting, email, various social sharing that was built on the phone. And I had an overwhelming request for it. Can you please integrate with WhatsApp? WhatsApp's a big chatting thing. Went searching, found out they had a custom URI for launching the app, and I was able to do that. And once that was there, it was like, boom, there was 10,000 more downloads over a week.
I want GroupMe. Because we use GroupMe, so
all right, give me some feedback.
They got to help an API.
Yeah, so I mean, there's all of those things that you can listen to your users. I mean, if you get a write-up on WP Central, or you get some comments on your WM Power user, pay attention to those and participate in the conversations that are there. Do check up on them. They last about a week, and then it tends to die off, I think. So that's important. And I always say, write up. Do a write-up on your own app, on your blog. What did you use? How did you do it? And tweet that stuff out. Don't be ashamed to self-promote. I do it all the time.
Very cool. So basically just say your names and where people can get in touch with you, and we'll sign this one out. Bill?
So Bill Reese, and you can find my blog at billreese.com. That's R-E-I-S-S. And you can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, pretty much everywhere else in the same, just Bill Reese everywhere.
And, of course, a consultant through Agile Thought, shameless plug there for you guys supporting our local community. Shane, tell us about you real quick. I'm going to sign off.
All right, Shane Boyer. Blog is tattoocoder.com. Find me on Twitter, SP Boyer. I'm pretty active in the community for speaking. I'll be at, South Florida Code Camp in February. Orlando Code Camp in March, and then Dev Intersections in April. So feel free to reach out to me there, and then Twitter at SP Boyer.
Very cool. I'm Joe Healy. I'm DevFish on Twitter, and this has been another Dev Radio episode. Thank you all very much.
Thanks.